Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, March 13th, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the big book, and we're in Bill's story on page 9. We'll be reading and commenting on the first paragraph that begins, "The door opened," and ends, "What had happened?" Today's readers, thank you for your service on this Wednesday. The 12 Steps, Stephanie R., 12 Traditions, Toby K., readers of the text, Kathy S., CR, Darlene H., thanks for being our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Anne Marie M., and our second hour host is Ramona A. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, March 12, 2024, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 21,214. That's 21214. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,216. That's 21216. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Stephanie R. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Stephanie R. reading the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves that restores to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Stephanie R. And I will now ask Toby K. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hi, this is Toby K. from Long Island, New York. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop overeating. 4, Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. The OA group would never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us that to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me service. I pass.
Thank you, Toby K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 9. We'll be reading and commenting on the first paragraph that begins "the door opened" and ends "what had happened." I will now ask Kathy S. to please begin reading.
Thanks, Lisa. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. The door opened and he stood there, fresh skinned and glowing. There was something about his eyes. He was inexplicably different. What had happened? This is like the paragraph that after what we've just been reading, that just like, you just see light. And what I love about this paragraph, we know it's the turning point. This is Ebby at the door. And it reminds me of a few things. First, from the doctor's opinion on page 31, where the doctor had described, you know, a man that showed up, someone that he had treated a long time ago. He didn't recognize him. All the resemblance had ended. He was a trembling, despairing, nervous wreck, and then emerged a man brimming over with self-reliance and contentment. And he talked about how he left a stranger. And here was Ebby at the door. There was something different. I love the idea of fresh skin, the description. It's like he's not covered up. This kind of makeover is not something we can conjure up. And it was my experience as well. And I can't explain it. I don't know how it happened other than God. It was a miracle. Because that, you know, one day I was this deep, I was a mess. I couldn't put two sentences together. I was despairing. I was depressed. Everything was dark. And my sponsor called. We decided to work together. I felt like it was God's lifeline. And the food just, it just stopped becoming an obsession, and we worked the steps, and there was something, something changed. I have spent my lifetime trying to do self-help work, and we had read every book on the topic. There were diets and exercise programs that promised this kind of life, this kind of change, but it never worked. But working the 12 steps has definitely, there's been an inexplicable difference. And it's the ultimate makeover, really. And it is something that helps me to, not only with my faith, but in this program to practice traditional leaven, that the PR policy, that it's attraction versus promotion. There's something about the countenance of someone in recovery, how we handle situations that used to baffle us. How do I show up today, you know, with grace and gratitude? Not always. That's why there's the 10th step. But certainly, you know, I do a turnaround and I have a spiritual experience every time I do it, every time I'm disturbed, because things still disturb me, but they don't last. It doesn't drive me to the food, and I am so grateful. And, you know, there's health, there's outside. For me, there wasn't much of an outside difference because I wasn't overweight. I controlled everything with exercise, but there has been a definite change. I know I'm out of time, so that's why I'm kind of stumbling. But thank you so much for letting me share. I know this is going to be a powerful meeting. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kathy S. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you've shared on any of the vision meetings on Monday or Tuesday, we ask you to hold back this morning. And who would like to share on what was read?
This is Gabrielle in Georgia.
Gabrielle, I heard you.
Reva P.
Kelly.
Jennifer C.
Jennifer.
Loretta H.
Loretta.
Vasa O.
Okay.
Elise,
did you say N as in Nancy?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, all right. Okay, this is a great lineup. Gabrielle, Anita, I'm going to add you to the end.
Thank you.
Okay. I have Gabrielle, Reva P., Kelly, Jennifer C., Loretta H., Vasa O., Elise N., and Anita J. Gabrielle, you're up. If you'll give me the first initial of your last name, followed by Reva P.
Thank you. This is Gabrielle, not Gabriella. My last initial is M as in Mary, and I'm in Georgia, and I'm a compulsive overeater. So I love this paragraph. I've read it before, but I've actually read it in another program and didn't think about it in terms of OA. And it struck me right away. Actually, my son's mother-in-law, who I've become really good friends with, I saw a dramatic change in her physically at my son's wedding. She was really big, but her hair was just dull and her skin looked pasty, and it, you know, she didn't look healthy. And it's easier to see it on somebody else than on myself. But as I read this paragraph, I do see it to a certain extent on myself. But I saw my friend 6 months later, and she had been following a really healthy food plan, and she'd lost all this weight. But what the most amazing thing was, she was fresh-skinned and glowing. She didn't look like the same person at all. It was amazing. Her skin was literally glowing, didn't have that pasty look anymore, and her hair was shining. And, you know, we're old women. That's pretty dramatic. But on myself, you know, I'm thinking about that. I've been abstinent since October, and I walk differently. I have more energy, and I catch glimpses of myself in the mirror or photos, and I just don't look like the same person. There's vitality. And the thing that strikes me so much is how our poor bodies can recover if we stop mistreating them. You know, I've known for many years that the stuff I was putting into my body was poisonous. It, you know, there was no doubt about it. But the wonderful thing of how we can have such amazing physical recovery overall, and like my doctors are so much happier with me. It's, I'm so grateful for this program and that my higher power has granted me neutrality around food, because the blessings just keep coming. And I'm so grateful to be here, and that we read just one paragraph at a time and we can think about these things, and I can hear everybody's experience, strength, and hope. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you, Gabrielle M. And Reva P., you're up, followed by Kelly S.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Every time I read this paragraph, it's such a wonderful opportunity for gratitude and the remember when, because I remember the man who was standing at the door, and he was, now I understand, signed the service of greeter. And when I came into my first meeting, he welcomed me, and there was something different about his eyes, and he was different than anybody or any of the professionals, for sure, that I had seen for this problem. And it was so attractive. And, you know, at the time, anorexia, bulimia wasn't very popular in the rooms. And I didn't know if I belonged. And he put his arm around me and said, yes, you belong here too, or something to that effect. You know, it was all a bit of a blur. But I remember that. And I remember how attractive it was. And, you know, what strikes me here is the word glowing, to give off light or heat. And we are lamplighters, right? We light the way. We light the way for others. And when my light gets dim, a fellow happens to be available and says the right thing and sends me a spiritual reading or whatever it is. We keep the light glowing for each other. And what also strikes me here is he didn't say a word. There is no words being spoken here. He just stood there, and Bill was already intrigued, and I was intrigued and curious, like, what is it that this man looks like? There are no bricks on his shoulders, that he doesn't look heavy. There's something about the look of being in disease. It's like weighted down and blocked and clogged up. And the eyes are just like glazed over, and he was the exact opposite. So it's just a reminder that who I am and how I demonstrate these principles in all my affairs speaks so much louder sometimes than the words I say. And how am I being that, you know, lamplighter? Just a reminder. And, you know, the lamp, the light doesn't go out when I light the for others, it sometimes gets even bigger. How can I be that light today in the rooms and outside the rooms? With that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. And Kelly S., you're up, followed by Jennifer C.
Hey, guys. Good morning. It's Kelly S., recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Grateful to be online. And I'm going to cheat a little bit and share on both paragraphs, yesterday's and today's, because they just really go together for me. And what these paragraphs really make me think about is when I first heard about the Vision for You meeting. I'd already been in the rooms for 30-something years, and I remember a friend telling me about the meeting, so I started listening to it. And I was like, whatever, you know, I only listened because I had nowhere else to go. I didn't know what else to do. I was back in the food, decades of being in and out of these rooms and not being able to really, certainly never even heard of the idea of recovered. And I started listening, you know, it was like the door opened, he stood there fresh skin and glowing. You know, the call was picked up, you guys started talking. I started hearing in your voices this recovery. I could hear there was something different, right? There was something in the stories, there was something in the experiences, there was something in the way everybody was sharing. It was different. I'd been around for decades. There was something different. I didn't know what it was, and I just kept listening because I know I've shared this with you guys. I'm like, well, I was, you know, you can't say recovered, but whatever, I'll just keep listening, you know. And, you know, there's no instructions in the big book. I've been around for decades. I have a bunch of these books. There's no actual instructions, but whatever, you know. And in the meantime, for real, I was commuting this time, and I would be binging all the way to work because I felt like the only way to stay awake driving an hour in the morning was to eat. I was eating and binging, not just eating, listening to Vision for You. But, you know, and yeah, that doesn't give you recovery, but I'll tell you what, it kept me in the place I was ready to really listen. And what was different? The message that I got was different than what I'd been hearing, that there had to be a spiritual relationship with this power, right? All this time I've been coming in, trying to get my food under control, my weight under control. You know, yeah, okay, I'll have God help me sometimes, but I didn't understand. And I finally was hearing this message, and I've always said, the Vision for You meetings was my Ebby. That's why I heard the message that the entire point of this book is to get a relationship with God, that I had to put this food down, black and white, and get busy working this work, the steps to get a connection with God. That's where I heard this message. That's where the voices were coming alive. The people who had experiences like me were sharing. They've been around decades too. They didn't hear that message for whatever reason. But today I finally got to hear the message, and I get to be a part of that hope to people that if you've been around and you didn't understand and you thought this is just a stop eating program, guess what? It's a living right program. That's what this is about. I got to put the food down, get a connection with God, and start living right. And you guys' voices, your stories of experience and strength, and especially hope, gave me hope to keep coming back because I was willing to put down the food and get busy working the steps and connect with God. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly S. Perfect timing. Jennifer C., you're up, followed by Loretta H.
Good morning, Jennifer C., recovered in Greenville, South Carolina. So what I think about with Ebby is that, you know, back then what we know is that he didn't have the full program that we have now, right? Because Bill hadn't written it yet. But what Ebby had was God. He had been touched by God, and he had surrendered. God relieved his alcohol problem, and that's all he knew. That's all he knew was that he was free, and he had never been free before. And he knew that he had to share it, and he was compelled to share it with Bill because that was all part of God's plan. and the reality is that the dramatic transformation is what got Bill's attention. You know, he had all this prejudice, and he had all these reasons that God had done him wrong, and that, you know, that God wasn't the answer, right? That the answer had to be himself, or that he was completely hopeless. There was nowhere else to turn. And then all of a sudden there was another answer, and the answer was God. And Bill saw that when the door opened. He saw the answer was God. And it had to be, or else he was done. Again, going back to, he was cornered. There was no other way. It had to be this way. And so we all come to this place, wherever we are with God, whatever we have against God, whatever we believe or don't believe, well, I don't believe it's a father, so I'm going to say it's a mother, or I'm going to, you know, God did me wrong as a child. Whatever we come to the table with, we are forced into having to really say, let's keep it really simple here. I can't do this. I can't do any of it. I can't get sober, and then I can't stay sober, and I can't manage my own life. So therefore, I have one way out of this, and it's got to be God. And so that's where Bill came to, and God used Ebby and the transformation before Bill's eyes to give Bill the willingness to want what Ebby had, and to be willing to stay open to maybe, just maybe, his old ideas weren't serving him, they weren't going to deliver him, and what he needed more than anything was freedom. And so for all of us today, like, may we hide everything we think we know about this God figure so that we can be delivered and set free, because that's all God wants to do for us, is set us free. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Jennifer C. And Loretta H., you're up, followed by Vasa O.
Good morning, Lisa, and good morning all along with my precious God. You are saving my life, Loretta H., recovered in North Carolina. I see the face of God, and that was where I think, as everybody shared, I love the idea of the makeover. I love the idea of the glow. I love the idea that this is somebody that has, and I, the artist Kin Shui, I write that in my 11th step a lot because I feel that that's where a lot of my processes, all those broken pieces get reunited with gold paint, and then God comes through us. And as people have shared, it's attraction, not promotion. And this program, if we work it and we take it to our hearts, it's a gift that keeps on giving. And we can see the face of God. And as it says in the book, when he finds himself, he finds God. So we can be the face of God. It's such a miraculous program. And on page 153, which is where they talk about love thy neighbor as thyself, it also says, the age of miracles is still with us. Our own recovery proves that. And that's what I want to share with the newcomers. Please keep coming back. If it works for a wretch like me, it will work for you. And keep coming back, because this actually was Ebby's survival with the 12th step. He was actually working a 12th step when he probably didn't even know he was doing it, because he was passing on the message, which is carried in his heart and in this book. So it actually 124 times before we get to working with others that we're sharing this message, or Bill sharing this message in this book. So that is the gift that keeps on giving. It's priceless, and it's my immunity against that first drink, but it's also my immunity to help somebody else against that first bite. And with that, I pass. God bless you all. Thank you for saving my life and doing the art of Kin Shui with my God.
Thank you, Loretta H. And Vasa O, you're up, followed by Elise N.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you, moderator, for leading the meeting. I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. And this is my story, and this is my experience. I got a visit from my friend, which I call Abby, came through the door in the morning. It was probably around 9 o'clock in the morning, and we both struggled with the food, but I had no clue there was a program that was called Overeaters Anonymous. I think I read it years before that in Dear Abby, but I thought at that time, I guess I wasn't ready, at that time I thought you needed to be like 50 pounds overweight, 100 pounds, so I didn't pay that much attention, because I wasn't being that much overweight, because I've been controlling my food addiction, trying to do different things, dieting, running. I had even practiced bulimia a few times, and I didn't understand that also exercising and running, it's part of bulimia. I had no clue about that. I learned in the program. But anyways, my friend walked in through my kitchen door, and I saw her. I hadn't seen her for a while, and I couldn't believe the way she looked. She had the glossy eyes, her skin, her weight was down, and she just looked beautiful and peaceful. And I asked her, "What have you been doing?" And she told me what she had been doing, and I wanted to have what she had. And she 12-stepped me a little bit about the program before I came to the first meeting, and told me that food was a drug, the sugar was a drug, like cocaine, and if I put it in my body, which I was doing it, and I wanted more and more and more. And I could identify, nobody had to diagnose me that I had the disease. I took the test, you know, and I scored 100 on it. Yes, I checked every one of them who I was. And I was ready to admit, I was not ashamed that I needed help. And she said, you know, it's going to work. It's working for me. If it's working for me, it's going to work for you. So it was like a promise. If you do what I'm doing and what did those men and women, the 100 men and women that did in the big book, you're going to recover. And I was ready. I guess I was in the deepest of my addiction at that time. And I've been looking for the answer to my problem. And whatever I did, it just not did work, you know. So I needed, I wanted to surrender to a power greater than myself. I said, I don't care who I surrender to. I just do not want to die. And that was the key, you know. She said, yeah, we got to clean house. Put the food down first, clean house and help others. And I said, I will do whatever it takes. And my house was the cleanest house on the block, believe me, because I was a compulsive cleaner, too. I didn't realize that. Thank you. Well, thank you for letting me share, and I'll share another 10, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa O. And Elise N., you're up, followed by Anita J. Elise? Press star one. We can't hear you.
Hi, this is Elise.
There you are.
Yeah, thank you so much for your service. Haven't spoken in this meeting for a long time, but fresh-skinned and glowing. My experience was interesting. I was a graduate student in social work, and I was at the John Jay Criminal College of Criminal Justice in Manhattan. I was on the cafeteria line when I met my Ebby, and I was ordering my normal, you know, food, probably hamburger and french fries, something pretty fattening, not what someone else would order that was watching their weight. I don't know what else I had on that tray. But Ebby, or this young woman next to me, looked at my tray, and she said, and she was thin, and she said, I used to eat like you do. I didn't know her from a hole in the wall. I certainly knew what she was talking about. And then she said, and then I started using cocaine in order to lose weight. And then when she couldn't afford the cocaine, she started turning tricks as a prostitute in order to afford the cocaine. So this is a lot of information for me to take on in the cafeteria line. But she said, and then I went to Overeaters Anonymous, and I was, you know, and I lost my weight. She didn't say I found spirituality, I found God, whatever, anything like that. But I was like, wow. I said, if she could do it, yeah, I'm certainly not going to use cocaine and I'm not going to turn any tricks or anything like that. But if she went, you know, like if she went through all of that, then maybe, you know, maybe if I go, I could lose weight too. I could, you know, maybe I could do that. And that's how I ended up in OA. Now, go figure. But that was what happened. And while when I went there, I met other people like me. I found my own religion through OA. I was already my religion, but a different brand of it. I started to believe in God after I started to believe in God because I felt that God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. I started to want to say thank you to God. So I started to look into my own religion to find out how you say thank you to God in my own religion. And I started to do that. And then I met a woman who was really, I mean, I looked in her eyes and I felt like there was a light coming out of her eyes. I really did. There was just something about her. And she was, you know, in program, you know, she had also, I'm not sure actually, but she had become religious and she was really, you know, peaceful and and kind. And I just saw in her, you know, what I wanted. Thank you. And everybody should have a great day.
Thank you, Elise N. And Anita J., please share with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And for all the shares ahead of me. You know, I'm Anita J. and I'm from Massachusetts. You never know when opportunity is going to knock. The door opened. I am sure this is the last thing Bill was expecting. And I wasn't expecting anything the day opportunity knocked. I was looking for a sponsor. I had in mind what I wanted in one, and a woman I was just getting to know as I had moved to a different part of Massachusetts, opening up different meetings. And she said, you should get this one. And she didn't fit the dimensions. But she kept saying it, and something, isn't that something? Something in her tone, something in something. God, I guess. I did call this lady, and what the one that was encouraging me to reach out to her for didn't even know that this lady had just started Envision for You, and it had changed her life. And she's the one who introduced me. I've been in OA for decades, doing what I thought was the program, but getting tired results, not getting the glowing eyes, not getting any of it. But I got far more than I ever bargained for, never mind the glowing eyes. I can feel most days a glowing inside. Isn't that something? That's God. That you want one thing, and I'm your focus, when you, I mean me, and I lose what he wants me to do. And so if I can step back and listen to what people are saying and what he is trying to speak to other people, it's life-changing. It wouldn't matter what you push toward me. And that is incredible. I can't say more than that. And but you know, you want to. You want to keep talking and talking, but you know, you don't need to. Look, he just stood there. There was something about his eyes. That's what I hope to keep doing until the eyes are still there, open. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Anita J. And we are on page 7 in the big book in Bill's story. We have read and are commenting on the first paragraph that begins the door open and ends what had happened. And who else would like to share this morning?
This is Gay.
Gay?
Yes.
Okay. On, anybody else? I hear Carmela, and then I hear someone muffled, maybe Laurie.
Dana Z.
Okay.
Roz G.
That's Roz. So Laura or Laurie, you're really muffled, but I'm trying.
It's Maura, M-A-U-R-A.
Oh, gosh, Maura. Okay, I got you now. Okay. Anybody
Tony
else?
Dana.
Tony.
Dana.
I got Dana Z.
Tony B.
Okay, let me tell you what... Tony B. Is that right, Tony B?
Joanne P.
Joanne. Okay. Joanne P. Okay. Let me tell you what I have. And you may have to confirm the first initial of your last name. I have Gay, Carmela G, Mara Z, Dana Z, Roz G, Tony B, and Joanne P. Hopefully that's correct. Gay, you're up if you'll give me the first initial of your last name, followed by Carmela G.
Sure. My last initial is K.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. I'm really grateful to be here. And I'm really taken aback by this paragraph. I what comes to mind when it's read, when I was read, is like Moses when he came down from the mountain. He had a glowing sheen about him. People remarked about him. And I've seen it in program as well. I come from the Boston area, and we've had a lot of very large meetings, and you can watch people come in for the first time, and, you know, as time goes on and the program starts to click in their head and they're doing what's suggested, they do, like, it's like shedding all that stuff. It's what I think when you see the bright eyes is that it's the spirit of the power of God. And God's doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And opposite to that is I can see when someone's in a lot of pain, and it doesn't have to be with food, with any addiction. You can see the clouded eyes. You can see the dull skin, the dull hair. And, you know, it's probably a reflection, too, of the attitude that you have when you're not clean and sober. I have experienced that. I've had people tell me, oh, my gosh, look at your eyes. I didn't notice them myself, but people that were abstinent that were looking for those types of signs could see it. And it was just testimony to me doing what I was supposed to be doing. And I have not always done what I'm supposed to do. I think I have, I don't know, it's not a built-in forgetter, but it's just like, okay, I've done that long enough. I'm tired of doing that. And it just sabotages myself. And I think I did this time around have the glowing eyes, and people did comment on, you know, how good I looked, whatever. Of course, I lost 70 pounds. So that right away is a good indication that something's going on. But this, you know, this glowing eyes thing really is, yeah, he says he's inexplicably different. Yeah, because it's not just the eyes. There's something about his demeanor, I'm sure, that was different. You know, it's something about my demeanor. I wasn't as racy. I was more calm. I was more thoughtful, and I was more at peace with myself. And, you know, that's the blessing of this meeting, of this organization, is that you can accept who you are and not feel like you have to make excuses. You know, I'm not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. The only perfect being is God. And I am a human being, and I will make mistakes. But the thing that I guess is my hallmark is that I keep coming back, because there's something in these wounds that I want. And eventually I'm going to get it, and it's going to stick. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Gay K. And Carmela G., you're up, followed by Mara Z.
Thank you so much. Carmela G., gratefully recovered from New York. This occurred recently. I've been in program for, this July will be 11 years. I don't notice any glow, anything about my face. I know there's a difference. I know I have a great connection with my higher power. I'm at peace. I understand all of that, and I know it, and I live it. But I was visiting a nephew of mine owns a jewelry business, and I was in the store with him and just standing there, and his diamond dealer came in to sell him some diamonds. And he said to the diamond dealer, "You see her? You see this woman? She prays more than you." And I looked at my nephew and I thought, what are you telling this man this for? And the diamond dealer looked at me and dismissed me. You know, he just wanted to go about his business. And as he's getting the diamonds out, and my nephew was looking at what he was going to buy and what he was going to take, the man looked up at me and said, "You know, there's a glow about you." And I just smiled and I said, "It's God." I said, "He gives me such peace and joy that it comes from the inside out." And that's what this program, I did, this program allowed me to shed over 150 pounds. But the peace and joy that God gives me every single day is the true gift. The true gift of walking in what we call the sunlight of the Spirit. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carmela G. And Mara Z, you're up, followed by Dana Z.
Thank you, moderator. Mara Z, recovered in Virginia by God's grace and mercy. He was inexplicably different. What had happened? In my case, what I noticed was that people around me were inexplicably different. They hadn't changed. I had changed. My perspective had changed. The way I reacted to the world changed. The way I reacted to people changed. I remember telling one of my sisters that my other sister was different. And she laughed and she said, no, she hasn't changed. You changed. Everything about me has changed because of these 12 steps. Because these 12 steps led me to a connection with my higher power. That's what's changed inside of me.
Mara, we lost you. Star one. Okay, hope y'all can hear me.
You can be heard.
Moderator, you're coming through perfectly. We lost Mara.
Okay. Let's go ahead with Dana Z, and if Mara comes back on, we will circle back around. Dana?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you so much, Dana P. I am in California, and you're doing a great job moderating this morning. Really appreciate the service. There he stood, fresh-skinned and glowing. And I love what was shared about what Dr. Silkworth said about Bill, you know, a man brimming with self-reliance. We have a physical, mental, emotional, ultimately spiritual sickness. And it's very clear that once a person stops drinking alcohol, I mean, they look like hell, excuse me, but really destroys the full component to it. Same with us. And for me, still going through dental stuff. You know, I've been food sober, vomit bulimia sober for over four years now, and still dealing with the teeth stuff. But it does have an impact on us physically, and when we stop, that all our physical comes better. Same with the brimming with self-reliance. You know, we become better, stronger in that way. Everything gets better in those ways. But it doesn't continue to get better unless we work on our spiritual, unless I work on my spiritual life daily, 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 moment by moment. And that's what Bill saw in Abby. That's what Bill saw. The eyes are the windows to the soul and what was going on there. And it is through the process of the steps of Abby doing the Oxford steps, but the steps nonetheless. And there is that part where we look at our character defects, as the book defines our character defects or calls them character defects, but those things that separate us from God and his kids. And we really take a look at that. And, you know, I can work really hard to try to get rid of all that stuff, but ultimately, unless I turn to a higher power, because I have no control over that either. I have no control over what I do with or without food, and I have no control over changing my defects of character, if you will. And Evie found a way into the 12 steps. He found that through the spiritual experience, and that's what he saw. Last thing I'd like to say is that I did have a coworker share that with me. And I was never obvious. It was never obvious on the outside what was going on with me. But after I worked the steps and I had the spiritual experience, I had a coworker that said to me, you know, there's something different about you. And I turned and I looked at her and I said, what do you mean? And the most amazing thing happened. The spark came through her eyes to my eyes and back my eyes to her eyes. And I saw the light of God in her and she saw the light of God in me. And it was just the most amazing thing. And that's what I believe, that somehow in the darkness of Bill's moment, that he saw that spark of God in Evie, and Evie saw that in Bill. So I'm going to pass with that. Thank you so much. And everybody have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Dana P. And Mara Z, are you back and can share again, followed by Roz G. Well, I'm sorry about the technical difficulties. Roz G, you're up, followed by Tony B.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. My name is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, Los Angeles County. Thank you, everybody, for your service this morning. I used to attend the meeting down the hill, and it was a meeting where it was OA, where we would, it was a topic meeting where we would go to the back of the book, find the topic on, you know, something that the leader had chosen, and pass the book around and read on it. And I went to that meeting for a long time, and I feel like I was just as much of a practicing compulsive overeater while I was attending the, you know, those OA meetings. That wasn't the only one, but the other ones that I went to, no big book. I was just practicing my disease, dieting with group support, and wondering, when am I going to, you know, don't leave, keep coming back, the miracle's going to happen for you. And they were telling the truth, because finally a woman came to share at that meeting, and she had a big book in her hand. She was thin, of course, I'm always looking, you know, unfortunately for that, which not today, not so much, but just, you know, me looking for being, always wanting to be thin and pretty, not realizing that has nothing to do with life. But she was thin, she had a big book in her hand, and she had a very calm demeanor. And she had a 20-minute pitch share where she just talked about how, the big book changed her recovery. And she so attracted me, the brightness of her look, the calmness of her demeanor, and being thin and talking about her weight loss. I was so attracted to that, because all I listened to every week was bitching and moaning about a topic at the back of the book, for the most part. And she told me about a big book meeting, and, you know, you could look it up online. I gave them a call, and a sponsor actually called me and said, would you like me to take you through the steps? It was big book. And finally, you know, the road to that meeting led to this. And I have so changed. My life has changed. I had a couple of relapses, but I have a nice, strong sentence. I have a foundation in the big book. And I was just, you know, texting with a friend of mine the other night, and he said to me, you are so bright. The light of God shows in you. And I said, I turned my life over to God. And he said, you can tell. And I've shared this a lot, but I've been practicing ballroom dancing, and I'm on a team with a bunch of, you know, 20 and 30-year-olds, and I keep up with them. And the teacher says to me, your smile just lights up the whole place. And I know that it is because, thank you, it is the light of God. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. And Tony B., you have 1 minute. And Joanne P., I hope you'll stay around for the second hour. Tony B.
Thank you. Tony B., gratefully recovered in Scotland. This is a wonderful paragraph. The door opened. It's passive. He doesn't say he opened the door. There's something sort of miraculous straight away. The door opened and he stood there. It does feel like the words of the sort of, he stood there. It's like, this is going to be somebody very important in Bill's life and in all of our lives. And Yes, he asks, you know, what had happened? Well, he'd put the drink down. He'd worked the steps as they were in the Oxford group then, the six tenants, I think. And then he'd, you know, he'd gone out and helped. He was out helping others, and that's why he was glowing. And he put his trust in God. I have moments when I receive God-inspired, kind of something hits my heart, something somebody says on this line or on a special edition or something my sponsor says. And I think I can give it too in moments. I think that, you know, in this moment he was carrying God, and in moments I'm able to, and in moments other fellows are able to. But yes, and Bill went on to have these lit up moments, not drink lit up, but, you know, God inspired, and continued to pass the message, and it will spread and spread. And thank God there are enough of us inspired at our own various moments as God decrees to inspire us to continue for that growth and passing it on. So yes, this is a beautiful paragraph indeed. Thank you for letting me share. I'll leave it there. Thank you. I pass.
Moderator, press.
Oh, sorry, I was muted. Thank you. Thank you, Tony B. Thank you, everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, March 13th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,218. That's 21218. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Nancy R., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and to keep you until then.
Good morning. It's Nancy R., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Illinois. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Asking in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you have not got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. See of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.